Please stand in your spirit and, if not, also in your body for the reading of the word this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollo, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I'd baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Besides, I don't know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If someone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your anointing upon the pastor as he brings this word. Prepare our hearts to receive. May it accomplish that which you intend for it to accomplish and prosper in that which you send it out to do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I need a microphone. I got a microphone. There's no rush today, except for we don't want food to be cold when we eat it. I am so excited that we're going to celebrate a fast together today. I'm so excited for what God is doing in this church. And I was made an observation that kind of jumped out at me. And I'm not one to create competitive spirit or anything, but this used to be an empty hole in the church, and now it's the fullest part of the church. I don't want to put any challenge or charge on y'all, but they have totally, I'm going to stand right here and preach the whole day to this group because they're showing up. No, I'm kidding. I'll preach to you too. It's a good day. There should be celebration today. For those who have fasted for 21 days, we're going to celebrate on a multiple line of levels. We get to eat. We get to sit back and talk a little bit at our tables about what God has done during this time of fast, and I hope you do that. And we get to look forward to what's ahead. We get to do this all in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. We over me, Christ over all, this is the church. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, you just heard it read, he says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." We are to be like-minded thinkers if we're in Christ together. Now, we're all at different levels of development in our growth. Some are brand new baby Christians. And some of you, the most of what you'll get out of this service came during the worship. For some, it might have even been the greeting when you walk through the door. For the more seasoned people, they listened to the words of the worship, not just the tune of it, and they were taking in the words by His Spirit because you know what they mean because you spent time in His Word. For others, you've been waiting for this part here where they were going to read the Word and speak about the Word of God. If you're in a life group, my hunch is you want to hear all that. Whatever level you're at, if you are in Christ and you've given your life to Him, you belong to Him. You have reason to celebrate. Today we're going to take communion at the end of the service. And the only thing we ask if you take communion is, do you know Christ and Him crucified? Do you know Him as Savior, as Lord? If you know Jesus like that and you said, I want to follow you, I give you rule and reign in my heart, take away my sin, you're a saved believer of Christ. And it's a praise God. That's right. Praise God. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's house, that there are contentions among you. What's the deal? We are believers of the same family. Why would there be contentions among us? Because we're people. We're human beings. We slip and we fall. We bump and we bruise. We make mistakes. We say things we shouldn't say to people we love because we're human. But we have a God that we go to, and we say, God, help me. God, I'm sorry. Restore my relationship with my family, whoever they may be. We restore my relationship with those in the church because God desires that we are together as a body of believers. That's the challenge for the church, to be together in the unity of Christ, to be together in the bond of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this. Here's where contentions can pop up. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Did you ever get that? We used to have two senior pastors years ago, and what happened when we had the two senior pastors, there was a division. Why? Because one sided with one, and some sided with the others, and some said, I'm just going to sit back and do my own thing. I mean, that's kind of how it worked. And that's not a good thing. God doesn't want division in the church. He wants division from the church and the world is what He wants. If there should be a division, it should be that we no longer look like the world. That should be the division that takes place in our life. Separate and distinct from the world and the world system. Seeing with the eyes of Christ instead of the eyes of man. Because the eyes of man are foolishness in God's eyes. That's what we should be. What about Paul? Paul was amazing. He was amazing. He did as much work for the kingdom of God as any man. What about him? What about Apollos? He was a man of God, doing the things of God. And Cephas, or Peter, is his other name that we know him by. What about Peter? Peter's a rock, and his statement of faith in Christ is a foundation upon which our faith is built. So who's better, who's worse? No, it's not about who's better, who's worse, who's this or that. There should have been unity in that place, and there should be unity in the place today. But you can see that they were very human in that day, and they would pick sides because that's our nature, I guess. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. How many in here, when you heard the name Gaius, you thought of the chosen? Gaius. All right. Me too. I thought of him. That is not where I get my theology. Okay, just a quick check. It is the best thing on TV by far. It was awesome. I loved it, and I can't wait till the next things come out in the spring. But that is not our theology, necessarily. We get our theology from the Word of God. All right? They do a great job of using the Word of God, but because it's a movie, they take liberties, which is fine. But here's where you get your theology, is in the Word of God. Just a little thing, because I'm going to do this again with people in a little bit. Verse 16, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. In other words, he's only baptized a couple of people. That's not his thing. John the Baptist, his whole thing was doing baptisms. And then Jesus himself never baptized anybody. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I went through this. He never baptized anybody. We believe in baptism here because it's a outward expression of an inward change in your heart and life. That's what baptism really is. If you have not been baptized, we would challenge you to say, yes, next time it comes around, I'm going to get baptized. Because you get a chance to make a public declaration of what you believe. And in this day, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is declaring what we believe. All right? We had a great Sunday school lesson today, and in that Sunday school lesson today, that's part of what we got. In this day, we have to declare what we believe. And the challenge was put out to men. Men, my challenge to you is to step into the role that God has given you. That's Gerald, you did a great job on that teaching. And speak what you're called to speak. And be an example to your family that they would speak what they're called to speak. Women, keep doing what you're doing. Keep speaking and teaching and loving God. Keep doing that. And do it in the right order. That's the quick side note prayer. I pray for you all in Jesus' name. We move to chapter 3, and it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." These people are only, Christianity has only been around a few years at this point. And to talk to them like deep-seated believers is a difficult thing to do. But the expectation is that you're going to talk to people like believers if you're in a church or in a synagogue or in these places. We're here going to talk to you as believers. And if you're not a believer, there's always the opportunity to come to Christ before you walk through the doors. And if the Spirit of God so prompts you, receive Him right now, right where you're at. If the Spirit of God is prompting you to receive Him and be a believer. But we're called to believe and we're called to share. That's the two things that God calls the church to do. Believe on the Lord. Tell about the Lord. Why? Because it's everything. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. In fact, it's rather difficult. And in the days ahead, it's going to become more difficult. And some of you oppositional folk, maybe that's a time when you shine. When they say you can't, you step up and say, I will. And maybe it was for the first time, but He is calling the church to speak and to share. You hear us talk a lot about there's a window that we have. I love the window. It's a window of opportunity for such a time as this. And the window isn't always open. Right now, the window's open to share. You're not being canceled right now. That's done. What does that mean? That means that there's opportunity to go out and do what God has called you to do with less coming at you. What if they come against you? You share. You tell. Doesn't matter if there's a shut window or an open window. It's just easier with one over the other. But you share. I got a brother who's going to get a colonoscopy this week. And I can chuckle at him because I get him every 5 years. And you know what he's going to experience? He's going to go in there, bottoms up, and the doctor is going to pray over him. Because that's what this doctor does. He prays over them. What about his staff? They're silent and they engage either in prayer or they're respectful and allow it to happen. That is a big deal. That is a big deal. How about in your workplace? Can we step into the place where we begin to pray for people when it's quickened in you or when you're challenged? Well, there's a window now where these things will be a little bit more accepted for a short period of time, and it'll be easy for us beginners. But for those who have been doing it, you continue on. Bring a new passion when you begin to pray for other people. Step in, tell them who Christ is. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. Even now you're still unable. If you're a salty veteran, you should be able to receive what I'm saying and not get angry or hurt, but get challenged. If you're brand new, I understand how hard it is to understand it for one, but to actually do it for another. If you try to do these things in your own strength, typically we don't do well. But if you do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, now we're effective in what we communicate. And the call is to operate by the power of the Holy Spirit. Step in to that and do the things that God has called you to do. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? This is for the believer. Your body is a temple. It's like a church, but better. It's living. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. If we remember that, we can accomplish great things. If we remember that, maybe we won't do some dumb things. Maybe. When it's quickened in my spirit that God is in me, that He's around me constantly, He's ever present, the Bible tells us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We're never left alone. What does that mean? That means I got an eye on me. An eye on me and an eye covering for me. He's with me always. He's with you always. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. The Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's eyes. So if you think you're really something and you're not in Christ, it's foolishness probably that you believe. I worked in an environment where it was foolishness all around me. And by the way, I was foolish. I was part of it because I wasn't walking as one who had Christ in me. But the wisdom of God is foolishness to them. I grab on to the wisdom of God. Let no one deceive you. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. What does that mean? Don't worry about what the world thinks of you. Don't worry about what the world says about you, who tells you your faith is nonsense. Worry about the one who has saved you, the one who knows you, the one who loves you with an everlasting love. Worry about what he's thinking of you. Ask that question. God, what do you think of me? Careful, you might get an answer. Here's what he thinks of you, though. You don't have to be afraid. He loves you. But he's going to tell you the truth. And he's going to prompt the people of this church who know him and love him to speak the truth to you. I thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You're a holy vessel. When you have Christ in you and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you are a holy vessel. Hang on to that. Be excited about that. When you call his name, he is there before you even say it because he is in you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to go back. I'm going to finish. I'm going to begin another thought that I think we really need to deal with. And I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians 3. And I'm going to talk more about who we are. In verse 3, it says, for you are carnal. We're still carnal. We still battle the flesh. We dwell in a house of flesh, which means we're carnal beings, physical beings. That's who we are. And there's a big deal about not letting divisions come among us. And the thing that creates the divisions is our carnality. If we operated by the Spirit, we would be knit together in the unity of the Holy Spirit. He says, be not carnal anymore. Let your temple be one that houses the Holy Spirit, which is Spirit. And we're called to that. Don't let divisions come about. Divisions in leadership, divisions with people, with other believers. The only divisions that should happen is when we step away and we become one with God. When we become one with Him, the divisions stop for us. People will leave us and divide away from us, but we will have our eyes focused on Him. We belong to a different kingdom at this time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Then He gets into telling us about what happens when we do it the way we ought to do. And you know what? Somebody took my, I buried my real message. I am so sorry. That was the practice one. Carnal self, we covered that, we're good. Unless y'all want to hear it again. The works you do. When you're a believer in Christ, you're called to good works. We do good works. We don't do good works to get close to Christ. We do good works because we are in Christ and we are close to Him. And He gives us things to do. And the good works matter. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another builds on it. But let each take one heed how he builds it. Take heed how he builds it. For there's no other foundation that can anyone lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. No other foundation that can be laid which is in Christ Jesus. You got to believe that. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. You see, God has given us things to do. And the good things that you do according to His word that He tells you to do matter. They have value. When you do these good works, there's an accounting that takes place in the spirit realm. Honestly, God knows what you do and what you do for Him. So we step out and we do good works. And He says there will be rewards for you when you do good works. Do you believe this? Do we do it for the good works? No. We do it because God's called us to do it. But when we step in and do the good works, there is a blessing that comes. And the blessing matters. All right? So, He doesn't want divisions. He wants the unity of the believers, the unity of the body of the believers, and He wants us to go to work. And when we do the work, it matters. Okay? You go home. You get up in the morning. You go to work. You earn a wage. You take care of your family. Those are beautiful things. And they're decent things to do. It's what we're supposed to do. You get up in the morning. You go to work, you share of the glory of God to a person maybe. You do a gesture that lifts up another person. Maybe you're helping a maintenance guy. You're doing something to show an act of kindness, but you're doing it in the name of Jesus. That is a good work. These are stored in heaven, and there is an accounting of the good works we do. Does it make me get to heaven or not go to heaven? No. It has to do with rewards, and there are rewards in heaven. Do you believe that? Yes. Otherwise, I'm at the buffet table right now because I don't need to do this. If I already got my rewards, everything's good, and I don't have to earn any more. I don't do this to earn rewards, though. I do this because the Spirit of God has come on me. He's come into my heart, and He's called me to do this. The worship team, they love music. That's clear. But they do it to serve God. They could actually go into a bar and do the same kind of music, well, a different kind of music, but they could do music and they can get paid and make money. But that's empty. That's temporary. But But they do it here for the glory of God. And they're storing up for themselves treasures in heaven where rust and mildew and all the other things that come against it corrode things away. And it matters. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord. Where do we get these rewards? Where do the rewards come from? Well, they come from God. They come from Him. When you pass away, we speak this at every funeral that we do just about. When you pass away and you pass from life, actually you pass from death to life is coming to Christ. And then you pass from life to death, which is your last days here in heaven or on earth, and you move into heaven. What's going to happen? I want you to think about it for a second. What's going to happen to you when you pass from life to death? If you're a believer, you've already passed from death to life. Now, from life to death. I want you to imagine just for a second what it's going to be like. And I want to explain to you what I think it's going to be like based on Scripture. You're going to enter the gates. Probably the Judah gate, because you are all from the... We're there because we serve Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we enter through the Judah gate, I believe. Probably pearly, according to all the folklore and tales you hear. I don't know. And you enter in, and what happens? The Bible says to be apart from the body is to be with Christ. So instantaneously, you go from being alive, taking your last breath, and instantaneously, you're apart from your body, and you are with Christ for the believer. You're with Him. What happens? He's going to take you to a judgment. And it's called the judgment seat of Christ. That word, the judgment, is in the Greek, it's the bema seat. Old saints know it by the bema seat, judgment. And we're going to all be judged at this judgment. And at this judgment, we're going to be judged for the works that we do. And it talks about precious stones, gold, silver, as rewards. Those are pictures that we can comprehend of spiritual realities that are much greater than those pictures. And they go through the fire and they come out like this, precious stones, precious metals, precious jewels, precious, precious. And then there's the wood, hay, stubble. The works that aren't necessarily great works. The behaviors that aren't necessarily great behaviors. And the Bible says it goes through the fire. It's all purified by fire. And it goes through the fire and it's consumed. And the Bible says at this time we'll suffer regret. What's the regret? The regret is what could have been, but what really wasn't. Not fully anyway. And those things that come out that are pure and good, they come out through the fire as precious stones. Why? Because there's reward in heaven. And I'm going to give you my opinion, and I think it substantiates by some scriptures, but I'm going to share it like I see it, and you can read it and dig on it. And I believe that at this point we take our good works that went through the fire and had purity and clarity, beautiful. And we fashion a crown just like the elders, the 24 elders fashioned a crown and laid the crown at the feet of Jesus. I believe we do the same thing with the preciousness that came through the fire of the good works we have done. We fashion a crown and we too lay it at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every perfect gift comes from Christ. And what we are doing is taking the good that worked through us, fashioning a crown and laying it at His feet, because it is Christ and Christ alone who is worthy. In me, nothing good dwells. I love Jesus. But in my flesh, there's nothing good apart from Jesus. Jesus is good, the Bible says. Him only. God is good, is what Jesus said. God is good. So the works that you do matter. And there is reward. And I think when the believer goes to heaven, that's value. That's great value. We want that. We don't want to suffer regret because, very honestly, I don't know the depth of regret in this context. I know I don't want to suffer regret ever, especially when I'm up in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, thank you. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Romans 14:10 says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why should you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, who's not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? This is scary. Those who don't know Christ are going to stand before God at the white throne judgment. And that's not a judgment of rewards. That's a judgment of consequence. That is being judged like the demons are judged. That is being judged with your consequences, the lake of fire. Is it a hot fire? Is it a real fire? Is it a metaphor for fire? Is it something? I don't know. I might have to dig a little bit deeper. I know I don't want to be there. Because if something is so awful that it's a punishment for Satan and his demons, I want nothing to do with that. Even a thought of it can make me cringe. But even more than the thought or the fear of that, I want us to embrace the reality of Christ. His greatness is greater than the evilness of the evil. The evilness is apart from him. The greatest thing with Christ is that we are with him. And we don't know the depth of what that means, to be really honest. Our life group, actually we struggled a little bit with this. How great God is. How great is he? We cannot comprehend how great he is. It's broader than what we know, deeper than what we know, bigger than what we know. Here's what I know. It's better than the other thing that maybe I don't know so much either. The other thing is so wickedly evil, I just know that. But I don't know what it's like to be there, and I don't want to find out. I grabbed a hot kettle iron with my bare hand a couple months ago. It blistered up instantaneously. I cried like a school child. I whined. I belly ached. Why didn't you tell me that was hot? I don't like pain. I'm even worse with emotional pain. I don't like emotional pain. I can't imagine spiritual pain. God, it's quiet. You guys aren't yelling or anything. Maybe I should talk about the fast some more. Well, thank you, Jesus. We will all stand before God at a judgment. Establishing God's order and our place in it. Verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and God dwells in you?" Do you know that? Embrace that. Grab onto that. Be aware of that, that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit if you are a believer in Christ. "If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him." Ouch. "For the temple of God is holy." Which temple are you? Are you a temple of God? Or are you a temple of self, which is really a temple of Satan? Man, these are hard words. I feel bad that you have to hear it. I'm feeling terrible. I have to say it. But we need to say it. "If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person." That's why there's not supposed to be division among us. There's not supposed to be hurting, cutting words against other people. God is going to deal with us when we do that. Build people up. Let them self-destroy. Thank you, Jesus. Leviticus 19:1 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for the Lord your God is holy.'" Why? Because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you should walk in holiness. To walk in holiness means to be set apart from the world. That's what we're called to be as believers. We walk in holiness. We walk as people set apart from the world. And it's tricky and it's not easy. But that's what we're called to do. Be free of the world. Because the world is courting us daily to come to them. And there's nothing but death coming to them. I'm talking spiritually. There's death. So we don't open ourselves up to that. So we be holy. What does holy mean? It means that we are to be set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from sin. Set apart from the world system. And be joined to Christ. That's what we're called to do. All right. Winding down here. Romans 14:19. Well, actually, Ephesians 2:21, I'll give you that one. In whom the whole building, being fit together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In other words, we are joined together and we are the body of Christ. You alone in Christ is a temple of the Holy Spirit. All of us are. But what happens when the temples come together? By the Spirit of Christ, we're joined together in unity, in a bond of peace. What happens to the church? I just want you to think about it. We become a holy church. Who's God coming back for? He's coming back for his church. We are the bride of Christ. He's coming back for us. Who's us? Those who are holy. Who's holy? Those who are set apart from the world. How do you get set apart from the world? By being good? No. You get set apart from the world by being in Christ. Being in Christ helps us to be good. Less dust on our feet when we enter the gates. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, Jesus. Romans 14:19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another, that we function as one body in Christ. That's the call for all of us, that we be one in Christ, united in Christ. United by what? By his Spirit. By Christ himself. By his shed blood. By the sacrifice he made for us, that when we come together and we put that together, we are one with him. And if you go to John 17, Jesus prays that great prayer. Father, that they may be one as we are one. That's the heart of God. Very honestly, why are we going to go back and eat bacon and sausage and pancakes and all these good things, eggs and crispy caramel rolls, whatever my sister made? That's just, it's grossly sick and delicious. Why do we do that? Because we didn't eat for 21 days or didn't drink for 21 days or cut out crackers or something? I don't know what you did. We do it because we're joined together in a great event that we're seeking God, praying for the church, being united together, doing this together. That's why we do this. Why do we have a chili cook-off? The same reason. Except we get to eat up until the point and then we eat some more. It's a beautiful thing. But it's the unity of spirit, unity of the Spirit and the bond of Christ. That's what we want for the church. That's what God wants for his church. Thank you, Jesus. Let no one deceive himself. If anything among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Do not be lured away by this world. Don't let it suck you in. Make a stand. I'm talking to the church right now. If you're not in Christ, you're already in the world. Your fight's a different fight. Your fight is to come to Christ. That's the call for you, is to come to Christ. If you don't know him, come to him. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You come to him for salvation, for being set free of the maladies and the things that you've come against that are hindering you and breaking you down. Come to him. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your weary souls. Is that you? Are you burdened by a load that you can't bear? Come to him. He's making a way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to take communion. And I just... if the people doing communion and the worship team would come forward. This word that we received today, the one that was the God's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 3, it's powerful. I'm going to challenge you when you go home today to read it for yourself. Because it'll give you a fluid flow of God's word. Read that word. If you don't know who Christ is, This right now is the most important moment in the service, is that you have an opportunity to receive Jesus. If you don't know who he is, you know, I'm not talking about the name of, although that's powerful, but you don't know him as your own personal Lord, your own Savior. If you don't know him as the one who takes away your sin, removes it from you as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it against you no more. If you don't know him like that, ask him in. Invite him into your life. If you don't know him as Savior, the one who saves us from those pits of hell that we alluded to, as opposed to heaven, which we don't know the grandness of heaven, except for what Scripture gives us. He gives us enough to know that it's amazing. But this decision today could determine where you end up. Because I don't know what happens after you leave this place today. I don't know what happens in the week ahead when you leave this place. The biggest fear I would have, and concern I would have, is if you lost your life without knowing Christ, that's frightening at a level I can't comprehend. However, if you invited him in, he never leaves us or forsakes us, the Bible tells us. When you invite him in, he is in. And he will begin to put people in your life, this church is being one, who will grow you up and raise you in the grace of the knowledge of who he is. And you'll become a believer. So what do you have to do to become a believer? You invite him in. You say, Jesus, I want what that short guy up there is talking about. I want it. I want Jesus and all that he said Jesus does. I want that. I'm here to tell you there's so much more. I want him. I want to give my life to him. If you've never said anything like that and you want to receive him today, just raise your hand right where you're at. Just raise it really high if that's you. Yeah, raise it high. Is there anybody else? David, you're good. You know Jesus. Is there anybody else? Yes, I see that hand in the back. Is there anybody else? We're going to pray in support of the two that raised their hand. When you pray it, though, and if you've never prayed it before, just pray it with us if you want to receive it. If you don't receive him today and you go home, you pray it at home. You don't have to be here to receive Christ. But it's a good place to receive him. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I now know my need. You are my need. Jesus, come into my heart. Change me. Make me new. Forgive me of my sin. And walk with me. I pray this in your name. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or you've prayed it 100 years ago, you're welcome to take communion with us, and we're going to do that in just a minute. So if you can take out your elements, if you don't have elements, there's some right up here. You can come up here and grab them. Is there anybody that needs any? We're good? Okay. In 1 Corinthians 11:27, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then in 1 Corinthians 11:23 it says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Who's praying over the body?
Father, we thank you. We thank you that you would send your Son, that he would be sacrificed, Father, for our forgiveness. Something we really is hard for us to even comprehend, but Father, thank you that you were that your son was beaten beyond recognition for me, for you, for the church. We thank you for that. We thank you for the sacrifice, and we thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Let us take of the body together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of my new covenant in my blood. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Father, it's a privilege to call you Father in what you've done. By the washing with your blood to cover our sinful life. And your word says that we should do this in remembrance. And that's why we do it, Father, to obey your word. And we know, Father, that you would never, ever, as Bo was saying earlier, never forsake us, never leave us, but you're always with us and you'll always see it through. So, Lord, when we take and drink from this cup, Lord, we remember what you've done and what's finished on the cross forever. Amen.
Let us take of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Wasn't that beautiful? It's a joy to be able to do this in this church. On the 16th, I believe it is, February 16th, I think that's the right date, we're going to have a speaker come here. Her name is Ann Tretniak. She's from VITA, which is a pro-life organization that this church supports. So just be preparing in advance for a couple weeks down the road. We're going to take up an offering for them in that service, just so you're prepared a couple weeks ahead. She's got big vision and big dreams for Green Bay, and we get to be a part of that with her, so just keep that in mind. We just took communion in a very formal way as the body of Christ. Communion is also us gathering together as a community and enjoying time with and fellowship with each other. So everybody in the room is invited to go to the back. There'll be people pointing the way, I hope. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of mice running around a trap, not trying to find their way. But we'll point you all the way to the back. And there is a big old meal with all kinds of food. Stuff that you haven't eaten in 21 days, hopefully. And we're going to have some communion together, community time together in the back. Amen. Father God, we're going to have one more worship song. But Father God, it is in your name. We pray over the meal that we've had, but also the one that we're going to eat. Father, be with us and let us have great time, great fellowship, and great food. We pray this in Jesus' name.